lover, but dude, it's such a bummer how you chase that girl around. You've been fighting all her battles, and she's really worth the hassle. You'd be living in the castle by now. And it makes me sick how you break these bricks for a girl who barely knows you exist. Now you're tripping on mushrooms just for fun, dude.
I think you got a problem.
Mario, get your shit together, bro.
From the streets of Broadway.
Streets of Broadway?
I don't know.
You don't even remember your own intro?
I don't.
Do we need to get you a teleprompter?
Heart of Broadway. In historic downtown Cape Girardeau.
That's the one.
It's not really, you know, truth be told, it's not really that historic.
There's a lot of historic stuff that
I mean, there's
here.
A lot of history here, but it's none that we're really proud of.
Oh, very little.
So whenever, if you're listening to this show and you're not from Missouri and you hear me intro the shows with, you know, from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, I just made that up to make us sound way more important than we really are, because we're just on like trash road in trash town.
Broadway has improved significantly over the last several years.
Portions of it. Unfortunately, we do not record at that portion.
I mean, we still record like near the new crosswalks and stuff. Like, yeah. It looks way nicer now.
I mean, we are, but I would rather be on other parts of Broadway.
You know, that's fair.
I would rather be in other parts of the country.
Also fair. You know, I always remember, speaking of stuff we're not proud of, whenever I was a kid, like you always saw those maps of like which states were, you know, for the Confederacy and which for the Union. I always thought like it was really funny because, you know, most of Missouri was for the Confederacy. And you look at the map.
They're going to rise again.
Oh, my God. You look at the map, and you just have, like, Missouri sticking up like a middle finger in, like, that in the grouping there. Because it's pretty much, you know, a straight line through the middle, and the Missouri is just right there.
Oh, God. They are rising again. Holy shit.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, they weren't lying. Hey,
that's horrifying.
My name is Shannon Young. I am absolutely not Dalton Anthony. Stop accusing me.
Why would you be thinking this?
I'm going to host the show tonight. Jesse Kimball's down at the end of the table.
Sort of. He's halfway here.
I'm assuming you are keeping up with fantasy football on your phone?
I am keeping up with the football game tonight, yes.
Who is it?
Tonight is Tampa Bay and Carolina.
What is your investment in this? Who are you interested in?
Christian McCaffrey. But also, like, I don't know. Like, I weirdly like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm not going to fault you. Tampa Bay was always one of my favorite football teams. No joke. When I used to play like the old Madden games and stuff, I would always play as either the Rams, I think it was either the Raiders or the 49ers or the Cowboys, of course. Mostly because King of the Hill.
No, that's fair.
Hank Hill had it in my head that you support the Dallas Cowboys.
No, you don't. You don't support the Dallas Cowboys.
You definitely don't, but I get where you're coming from.
Or Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, back the fuck up for a second. I grew up with the good Cowboys, Michael Irvin. What? You got something to say
I'm
already?
I'm a Steelers fan.
That's
Steelers
true.
Fans don't like Cowboys fans.
That's true.
But we also don't like Browns fans.
No fandom really likes the Cowboys fans.
So let me get this straight. You don't like the Browns.
The football team.
Which is like, that's one of those like non-existent rivalries. Like,
I know.
The Browns,
it's just because it's right there.
No, that's fair. Like, it's like,
God, I can't think of the rest of the Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. Troy Aikman. I couldn't fucking think
you
of
you forgot
Troy
Hank's favorite boy.
No, that's sad. That's Lindsay Wolf gone, by the way. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
And Allie Hebert.
Hi.
Filling in for Allie Hebert.
Uh-huh. How does one fill in for themselves?
Dildo?
The phrasing doesn't quite add up, but I'll take it. You know, you get a golf clap.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My favorite football player of all time, though.
Yeah.
It's Cordell Stewart.
Huh. Oh, because he was super busted in the, game was that?
He was extremely busted. But now he wasn't busted to the level of Bo Jackson.
No, nobody was.
Bo Jackson was the cheat code.
Yeah.
But Cordell Stewart was very similar. He was a dual sport guy. No, I don't think he was dual sport. I think he was dual position. God, I forget now. All I ever wanted growing up. All I ever wanted, and I begged my parents for it, and we couldn't afford it, obviously, especially in those days. I wanted a Cordell Stewart jersey. It was when he played for the Steelers, actually. Cordell Stewart, when he was with the Steelers, I wanted a Cordell Stewart Steelers jersey, and I never could get one. And let's just look at now and see how much a Cordell Stewart Steelers jersey is.
You can get custom jerseys for like $110 and put Stewart's name and number on it.
Cordell Stewart jersey.
I don't think there are many places where you can still buy one of those jerseys because he wasn't popular enough of a player to have a legacy jersey.
No, I can get like shirts Oh, there you go. Football jersey. Cordell Stewart. $35. So
you could have it. You could have it now.
I could finally have it now. Years later, after he's way, way forgotten.
Yeah, because if you go to like NFL Shop, occasionally you can find jerseys for like, you know, big time players. Like you could still buy Peyton Manning jerseys.
I could probably get a Jerome Bettis jersey somewhere.
Probably.
You don't think the bus is deserving?
It's not that he's not deserving. It's just like there are very few of those players that like have enough staying power for them to keep stock of their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Because they throw out like the basically legacy jerseys. Like they continually reprint them for jerseys that still sell super well.
So like the super popular players, your Michael Jordans, your Peyton Manning's.
Yeah, you got it.
You dropped the ball there a little bit.
You could still get Troy Aikman jerseys. You could still get John Elway jerseys.
I like John. See, that was my era of football. Like, I actually like football. I really like football. But 90s football, like early to mid 90s, that was my jam. And the Cowboys were probably my favorite team then.
And see, it's one of those things. Like, Cowboys are just like, Cowboys fans are like the literal worst.
Were they back then too? I'm being serious.
They've kind of always been. It's really? It's the same thing with like any huge market team.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys and the Patriots are probably the two biggest market teams in the U.S. Like the Packers are up there too, and a few other teams. And like Packers fans though, like I've never like actively like disliked, but Cowboys fans and Patriots fans are always just super obnoxious about their teams.
I've always hated the Patriots, and I don't know why. That's probably part of it. Is just the fandom of the Patriots, but I never really paid attention to that. I was too young to pay attention to the Cowboys fandom. Like, I was nowhere near Dallas, obviously, so I played as them in the football games, and I thought they were cool.
No, that's fair.
And I watched them on TV. So, yeah, that was always my football team, just throwing that out there. And the Arizona Cardinals. I like the Arizona Cardinals because I like the St. Louis Cardinals.
But I say a lot of people in this area don't like the Arizona Cardinals because they jump ship.
I didn't know that at the time. And, you know, I still have this. My mom bought, and she swore up and down this is going to be worth money someday. And I haven't looked at the price online, but I feel like she may have been mistaken. She bought a six-pack bottle Coca-Colas when the Rams first moved back to St. Louis. Or first moved to St. Louis.
Yeah, to St. Louis.
Because they're from Los Angeles. Yeah. Yep. And now they're back in Los Angeles, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so, now they're one of two LA teams.
Oh, that makes me so mad. I'll get to that in a second. But when they moved to St. Louis, she bought that, and we've kept it. Like, the box is a little beat up, obviously, because it's been 50
years. If you pick
it
up without holding it at the bottom, it is going to fall apart.
But the bottles are in good condition, and it's never been opened. I've often thought about, what if we did a fun video where we opened them and all drank them?
At this point, they would be gross.
Did you ever see the video of the guy opening up the old Crystal Pepsi bottle and drinking it?
No.
He immediately starts throwing up.
Ew.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, it would be, like, obviously, they'd be super flat at this point.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the sugars are probably broken down and super gross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, everything about
you're making
that
me thirsty
bad.
Right now.
Ooh.
Today's episode, by the way, is brought to you by Clover Valley Purified Drinking Water.
No,
when,
it's not.
When you don't want to spend the money on an individual bottle, but you will spend $3 on a 70-pack, Clover Valley Purified Drinking Water gets you through the day.
Yeah, this cost me $12, and I've had it now for almost 10 years.
One day we're going to get a sponsorship from someone we fake plug. They're going to go, they're going to listen to the show and go, I like them. They're funny. And then they get to all the racist parts and go, never mind.
What racist parts?
Shannon?
She's sitting right here.
I mean, like, you do say some pretty fucked up shit on the pre-shows.
I say random weird things, but and I think I'm a prime example of a guy that says some terrible things sometimes, but everyone would agree is the least terrible person they know. Like, the most,
I wouldn't say you're the least terrible person I know.
I think when,
because, well, I mean, like, I know people like Kurt McDowell.
Okay, that's not, that doesn't count. That's a chica. Kurt McDowell is the Bo Jackson of human beings. He doesn't count. But of our group, I would say I'm the least. I'm like top five at least.
He keeps downgrading himself.
You think of people like pure souls like Cody Sandusky.
Too much inner rage. Too much inner rage. And
he doesn't have a lot of that.
I would take a bullet for Cody Sandusky, but he's a homicidal maniac just waiting to explode.
That's really true. Like his
how
place.
I start to feel at work.
It's one of those things. Like if I ever hear the news story, like in his place of work, like there suddenly was a massive explosion.
You would not be surprised.
I would not be even a little bit surprised. Like, well, they finally got to him.
Yeah, they got to him a long time ago.
Oh, fair. He finally snapped.
Yeah,
they finally had the last straw.
Yeah, but I'm a pretty decent guy, but.
I think we are all decent people speech, here in the Podzilla 1985 studio.
Freedom of speech is something I use often. And my problem is drawing the line between, okay, I'm going to say this terrible thing to make fun of these people that say these terrible things. But then I have to find the line between, okay, but now you're just perpetuating the terrible thing, aren't you? Like Dave Chappelle, when that infamous moment where he quit his own show because he was like, am I racist? Because their white people were laughing too hard at the N-word, you know?
Yeah.
He went to Africa. I can't go to Africa. Like, I can't go anywhere if I go nuts.
And he wasn't in Africa for very long.
He was not.
Everybody talks about, like, yeah, he just left. Yeah, he just fucking ghosted. Like, he was out for, like, 20 years. Just, I'm in Africa, bye.
Do you remember those commercials on Comedy Central after he left? Where it was just like a tape recording of his voice, like leave a message or whatever. And it was like, hey, Dave, it's Comedy Central. You come. And they were like, they were making fun of it, which was kind of fucked up if you think about it.
No, I mean, like, look it back. Like, even hear Dave Chappelle talk about it. Like, the fucked up smear campaign they ran on Chappelle when he wouldn't. Because the real reason he left had nothing to do with, like, his comedy or anything. It was because his DVD sales were outrate like so ridiculously good that he was getting paid way more than Comedy Central wanted him to based on the contract that he had. So they wanted to renegotiate the contract, give him like $20 million or something like that, and he wouldn't get anything from DVD sales.
Yeah.
Know
your worth.
Yeah. Thing. And it was one of those things, like, he had already, like, DVD sales were still just going nuts.
Yeah.
People were
going nuts.
Yeah. People are still buying Chappelle's show.
Chappelle's show is timeless. Most of it.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a couple not so great
things.
Some
of it's a little hard, but.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah.
I was entertained.
The Chappelle show was phenomenal. I loved the Chappelle show.
But I think it's very hard for comedy, especially sketch comedy, because it's such a product of its time. Mm. It's hard for it to hold up years later because times have changed so much.
Yeah, because, and a lot of it is based on, like, you know, the current events of the era and stuff like that.
For those of us that are nostalgia obsessed.
But I think there are some parts in those that don't age well. Like, stuff that at the time. We kind of gave it a pass because we didn't understand the seriousness of it, like, you know, homophobia or racism and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think of, and not just in sketch comedy, but I think of a movie like Bill and Ted,
yeah.
Where, you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, they
I
call
love the movie, but yeah, there's some major unnecessary.
They drop some homophobic slurs in that are completely unnecessary.
Especially, like, anything from, like, basically the late 80s through the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Or even, like, towards the late aughts.
Gay people were very popular to make fun of in Hollywood.
And I mean, then that was back in the day where, like, you know, if something was negative, you called it gay. It's
that's
like,
gay.
That's gay.
That's hella gay.
That's hella gay. And
like
then,
the, that's one of the nominees for Motherfucker of the Week, by the way. Go ahead, and we'll get to the Motherfucker of the Week here in a second.
Boy. Yeah, no, like, that was just, like, everybody said that back in the early aughts and, like, the late 90s. Like, if you didn't like something, it was gay.
I remember in middle school, we did something, and the music teacher asked the class what happened, and someone responded with it was gay, and the teacher just looks at him and goes, how?
Yeah. No, it made no sense.
And that student just was like,
you couldn't answer.
what do you mean?
Homosexuality was viewed in such a negative context that, like, yeah, like, you referred to something you disliked or something that was bad as gay, which, yeah, looking back, really fucked up.
And people still do that, and I will call them out every single time at the store if they do that.
There's these fucking kids that show up to these Smash tournaments, and they'll say, like, something is gay, and I'm like, it's 2019. They're high school kids.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, it is 2019.
Like, how is this something we're still teaching our
kids? Yeah, like, how are you guys? Like, because I thought
full-on parents come in. Well, granted, they're trash. They are complete trash.
That's where they get it, though.
Yeah,
it's not parents. Yeah, because we don't see it in like media as much anymore. But you damn well know that there's a 40-year-old dude that's just like, oh, that's gay.
Yeah, because I mean,
it's
like,
usually moms that I hear it out of.
You remember that woman at GameStop?
I do.
Yeah, is this game gay? It's pretty gay, isn't it? You're like 35, man. Grow the fuck up.
Because you'll get like a lot of those older people will do it from when, you know, their kids did it back, you know, 20 years ago now.
Yeah.
Or they grew up, you know, through most of the time thinking that homosexuality was bad. But
I think it's wonderful.
It's a great thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, love is love. Do what you want to do.
We've all identified as bisexual recently, except for Lindsay and Allie.
And Jesse.
I like his definition of all.
At least two members of the Podzilla crew identify as bisexual. I'll let you figure out who's who. You know it's not these three.
Huh.
I am the kind of person that if I fell in love with a brick, I would have sex with the brick. So
that would be a little painful, very painful. I think.
But yeah, no, go back to these Farmington kids. Like, it was one of the, like, they're high school kids. I'm like, what high school kids are still saying this? And it's like, I guess Farmington. So,
I mean,
did you say this earlier in the group chat?
No.
Did anyone say something about Farmington earlier today?
No.
I did say something about the GameStop there might be closing.
That's it. Thank God, because I knew I heard it, and I was like, no, nah, fuck that. This ain't deja vu.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, it was one of those things that they're closing like 200 stores.
180 to 200 stores,
yeah,
for GameStop.
And it's like, yeah, the Cape GameStop is almost certainly not closing because it almost certainly still pulls in a shitload of cash.
That's what they tell me, and good, because I don't want them to close.
No. I don't either, and even though I haven't been in there in like a year.
We go weekly. We go weekly.
Yeah, I just haven't had to buy anything.
One of the workers there, I won't say her name. She's super sweet.
I do like the same worker you're referring to.
Well, no, this is a different one.
What?
This is a different one that we didn't think liked us very much, and then we found out recently really likes me and Allie to the point that she wants us to like her, and she said that out loud. And we were like, aw.
That's kind of adorable.
That's cute. Yeah. I'll tell you later.
Fair enough. Because I know I don't like the store manager there.
She's the pretty one. She's one of the pretty ones.
I was about to say, there are a couple there. A
lot of them, men and women.
Yeah.
But and me yeah, when I go inside.
The store manager, I'm not a huge fan of.
She's all right. I don't dislike her.
I haven't been much of a fan of her since the that controller incident
situation. But I think
situation.
The problem with you is you're a lot like me. When you work there, you see through a lot of the act that managers especially put on.
Yeah, even if I didn't work there, like, that whole act was just, like, unnecessary. And it's every time I go in there. And she never remembers me, which is fine. Like, I don't need her to remember me. But it's just, yeah, the act drives me insane. Because she is, like, the least genuine individual I have ever encountered in a GameStop store. And I knew Jeremy Hart.
Whoa, when we start name-dropping people, Jesse?
Yeah, well, that's fine. He deserves it. That motherfucker tried to get me fired no fewer than three times.
I'm pretty sure he did get me fired.
That's a distinct possibility.
He and skinny, straw-haired spy, as far as I'll go with that. Hey, we were talking a second ago about the motherfucker. Speaking of motherfuckers, talking about the motherfucker of the week. By the way, I buried the hatchet with Jeremy Hart, if he's listening. Great guy. I think he's... he's a wonderful person.
What you can't see is the jerk-off motion, and yeah, I'm calling it out.
No, I had an itch.
Oh,
my hand was itchy.
Yeah. All right.
Oh.
No, because, yeah, just fuck that guy.
You know what me and him really did? We did bond over Buffy and Angel, though. And, like, maybe he's chilled out at this point.
It's one of those things.
I didn't care for the man when he was there. Let's put it
that
way.
Anytime I had a face-to-face conversation with Jeremy, like, he and I got along just swimmingly. Like, we had a lot of common ground. We were able to talk about a lot of stuff. It was fine. And then, like, you know, 5 minutes later, like, I turn my back and he just plants the dagger in as deep as he can.
Jesse Kimball, I've been told by many people that they get mad at me when I don't defend them on this show from people like you assaulting them. So you stop talking about my friend, Jeremy Hart, right now.
This is the hill you're going to die on?
There, internet. Are you happy?
Shana finally defended somebody finally that I was talking shit
somebody,
on.
Finally stood up for something I completely disagreed with. You got what you wanted. All right, let's talk about that motherfuckers.
All right, go for
that
it.
That motherfuckers. And then we got something fun. After the bad is the fun. Lindsay's got something fun.
Yeah.
So, motherfucker of the week. I got three nominees this week.
That's a lot.
I'm going to give you the two nominees, then the winner. Okay. First off, North Carolina Republicans.
Woo!
You motherfuckers.
Woo, you motherfuckers.
Tell me this story, because I haven't been paying attention.
So,
Or maybe I have been paying attention and I just blocked it out already.
Here's the quick version of it. On 9/11, the Republicans in North Carolina, they went in and voted on, what was it, overturn the budget, I believe? Like a budget bill?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
It was budget for...
What kind of budget?
It was budget, for budget rent a car.
I don't think that's right.
I don't remember what the budget was.
I'm looking it up because I want to get the facts straight. So if you're going to be mad, you can be mad. And hey, fuckers, don't go like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. Listen to them. No, we talk about so much. We can't remember every little detail.
So much has happened this last
week. Why don't you guys host a fucking show and then tell us how to do things, okay?
I mean, you're starting to sound like Dennis just a little bit there.
Savages! All right, this is straight from the Washington Post. While most North Carolinians were remembering the lives lost on September 11, 2001, the Republican leaders in the General Assembly took advantage of a half-empty house and voted to override the governor's budget veto Wednesday morning. Governor Roy Cooper, Democrat, said in a news conference that House Republicans called for a surprise vote while he and House members were honoring first responders on the anniversary of 9/11. So while
That's a shitty move.
Oh, it's super fucked up.
Because they could not pass this veto. They lost every time they tried to pass it because of the Democrats that were in chambers. So they waited until 9/11 when the Democrats were out, and then they did a surprise vote to veto this thing.
Yeah, and they had enough people there for a quorum. And,
wow.
Yeah.
There's one Democrat, I think her name was Debbie. I don't know the exact full name of it here, but you can see her on the video's out, and she's just pissed. She's you will not do this to democracy. But they did. And what a shady, shitty thing to do on 9/11.
Oh, yeah. No, seriously. Like, taking advantage of that shit is just super fucked up.
That is one of the shadiest things I think I've ever heard.
The new levels of America.
That was going to win Motherfucker of the Week. But I got others.
What happened then?
Our second nominee for Motherfucker of the Week is Tyrone Rodriguez.
Who's he?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the crickets to start chirping.
Yeah, because I don't think I've heard this story.
He is the, I don't know if you call him CEO or whatever, of Nicalis. You read about this story, right?
The super racist motherfucker.
Yeah, he's behind some of, not behind them, but like published or whatever, some pretty popular games.
He's published them.
Yeah, including Binding of Isaac, Cave Story, some really popular indie titles.
Yep.
But it came out today. Kotaku had a great article, and they've been putting out some quality stuff sometimes about, you know, kind of exposing the industry and some of the bad stuff in the industry. But we highly encourage reading it about the racism and just how terrible this guy is. A lot of people are pulling out from working with him. He's used the N-word a couple times in chat logs. He refers to things as gay. Yep. Which is fun. He likes to use the term Jude or Jew.
Wow.
So he's kind of a piece of shit. He encourages his employees to drink and then calls them little bitches if they don't. Like, he is...
Garbage?
And there's no HR. Like someone said, when there's no HR, who do we report it to? He's the leader.
Yeah, because he's the guy, basically... I guess for those of you that don't know a whole lot about the video game business, the publishers are like, that's like EA, Ubisoft, stuff like that. The guys that are putting out the money to put the game on the shelf. Yeah. You have the developers are actually designing it and working on the game and everything else. The publishers are the cash behind it. They're the ones that get the games out to the shelf. So if you've got the publisher is out there, you know, pulling this like racist, nasty, terrible shit, like, I mean, they're the only ones that are paying for it.
Right.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah. So he is a definite candidate. I still think the North Carolina Republicans are worse, obviously, because they're both pretty bad. But they didn't.
I would say the North Carolina Republicans, the North Carolina Congressional Party or Republican Party is definitely more of a motherfucker.
For right now, like, this is a good time to condemn them.
Yeah.
This guy can be condemned like any day of the week, any week of the year.
That's true, but they're still not the motherfuckers of the week.
Oh boy, what do we got?
The motherfucker of the week, the official one. Allie, give me a drum roll. Don't do that. That sounds bad. Just go.
No.
Motherfucker of the week is Hunter Hendricks.
Why?
Motherfucker of the week.
Wow.
What?
For his posts in the legendary Podzilla 1985 chat, I award you Motherfucker of the week.
Did you actually watch it?
No. I had enough people like immediately freak out about it that I didn't go hear it. And
Because me and Asa were the only two people that saw it.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But to be fair, and I'm glad you did, because like I'm also not a fan of these kind of things. And maybe don't mention everything on the show, because I don't know how much is too much. But let's just say it was a funny post that was, from Reddit, I think?
No. Oh, yeah. It was from Reddit. It was a video posted to Reddit.
It was a gross post from Reddit that leaked its way into the Podzilla chat, and I told Hunter I was going to do this to him, and he approved and said to blame it on his juice. He said blame it on
juice.
Blame it on my juice baby, and there's no comma, so I don't know if he meant my juice comma baby or his juice baby, which I don't know what a juice baby is.
It's when you have too much juice and, you know, you can see your bladder is extended a little bit. That's the juice baby.
Oh, I thought he created a baby from his. No. Because that actually sounds like a sexual term.
It does a little bit.
And I'm not going to do that.
It was one of those things like Asa and I can absolutely see like where you guys are coming from and thinking, especially with the parties involved, that, you know, we were legitimately upset about having viewed this video. It was one of those things I watched. I was like, oh, God.
It's poop humor.
It was a little bit of that.
I don't want to know anymore, though.
Yeah, it was one of those things I watched the video. And I was like, what's going to happen here? And I'm like, oh, no. And then I go back, you know, and Ace is like, yeah, you know, maybe keep some links to yourself. And I was just like.
And I saw those reactions and I was like, well, I'm not touching this. And Hunter said, it's nothing worse than on Live Leak because he knows I frequent Live Leak, where I do watch videos of men being torn in half by trucks.
I would argue.
What?
That I would rather see the videos that you see on Live League than I would this, and I can't explain why.
There are certain things that I have no interest in seeing ever. Fecal humor is one of them, and it's not that I'm like, oh you bastard, you did that. No, it's not for me. It's not for me. I think it's Dalton that likes to watch the videos of people taking care of
oh, the pimple poppers.
Yeah.
Yuck.
And I don't get
well,
that either.
You know, Dalton had his experience and, you know, he's been looking to experiment outside of
I don't know what that means, but it's disgusting.
Dalton does, and he's really mad at me now.
Well, he's always mad at you for one reason or another. So yeah, I'm gonna give it to him because I love him, but also the Republicans.
Yeah, the North Carolina Congressional Republicans.
If I had to pick between watching something dealing with fecal humor or voting for something on the anniversary of the most lives lost in a terrorist attack in United States history, I would watch the poop.
I mean, in fairness, poop is hilarious.
Because what he did may have involved poop, but what they did was just shitty.
Ha 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 ha. You're so funny.
Can you do the Tim Curry after it?
No.
Ha 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 ha. I can't do it like it. It might sound like Pee Wee Herman.
That actually did sound a little.
Halen. Nope. That's not Pee Wee Herman now. I'm not good at this.
You got it trying to do something else and you lost it.
It comes and goes.
You know, I cannot imitate Tim Curry.
No. No one can.
He's Tim Curry.
We'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to be talking about it. Spoilers. Spoilers a little bit later for it. Before we do that, though, it, Lindsay. What'd you say? TikTok?
And I said it.
What?
Oh. TikTok's basically Vines. Lindsay.
It is.
You had something you wanted to talk about involving sex toys.
No, not sex toys.
Just regular toys.
You have to pervert everything.
Well, you know what girls do with Barbies, don't you?
No.
Did you hear the story about how Barbie's originally a Jewish sex toy? Apparently that's not true.
No, it's not.
What?
That was a popular thing that hit the internet, and apparently it's there's some truth to it, but
I'm sure some people have probably done that.
What
but
in the goddamn hell is he talking about?
I don't.
Barbie
anyways,
is a Jewish sex toy.
Yes.
Anywho,
hold up. I'll look. You guys finish the conversation. I'll see what I can find about this real quick.
What?
Yeah. So I discovered there's a National Toy Hall of Fame. Which I did not know was a thing.
Now, is this physical or is this like a virtual
this
thing?
This is part of the Strong National Museum of Play, which they are the biggest toy museum that there is. They're in Rochester, New York, I believe.
Okay.
And they have their finalists up for voting for this year's inductees into the Toy Hall of Fame. And you can go online to toyhalloffame.org. You have until September 18th, and you can vote for your favorite amongst them. You can vote once a day. And do you want me to go over the nominees first,
yeah,
or would we like to hear who's already in the Hall of Fame first?
Well, how many?
How
many are in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, I can just run through it real quick.
Is it going to be like 50?
It's something like that, but I mean, we don't have to comment on it. I can just zip through it.
All right, go ahead, but I'm going to comment on the ones that I want to.
Okay. So, the ones that are already inducted. These are in alphabetical order because I'm not going to try and do it by their year. Forget it.
I'm going to say bad or good depending on it.
Okay. And now, mind you, these are just any form of toy throughout history that has had an impact on play.
Okay.
Is what I have grasped from this. So they have Alphabet Blocks.
Bad.
Atari 2600 game system.
Bad.
Baby dolls.
Atari 2600 crashed the video game market. They almost killed video games
forever.
Well,
it had an impact.
They almost did.
Now, what'd you say?
Baby dolls.
Bad.
Balls, just in general.
Good.
Barbie. Which Jesse is still researching.
Oh yeah, no, I found what I needed to find. So like once we're done the here, bicycle. I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
Barbie is bad. It set a bad example for women.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Bicycles, good.
Big wheels.
Good.
Blankets.
Bad.
Bubbles.
That's how they killed the Indians.
Candyland.
Bad.
Cardboard boxes.
Good.
Checkers.
Good.
Chess.
Bad.
Clue.
Good.
Crayola crayons.
Good.
Dollhouse.
Bad.
Dominoes.
Bad.
Dunkin' Yo-Yos.
Bad.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Good.
The Easy Bake Oven.
Good. Always wanted one.
Erector sets.
Always wanted one.
What is an erector set?
It's like you had the metal pieces that you would put things together. It was like Kinex,
but for, or Lego. Well, there was like Legos, then Kinex, then there's erector sets.
Yeah.
Did it kind of look like little construction?
Yes. Do you ever watch Sandlot? Yeah.
Yes.
They used erector sets.
Okay, yeah. Allie, you got that reference, right?
Yes.
You've seen Sandlot?
Yes.
Okay.
Etch-a-Sketch.
Good.
Fisher-Price Little People.
What the hell is that?
Those the little
people,
the little thingies that they didn't have arms or legs. They're just the people with the faces, and they had like I had the barn, and I there think, was and like the, a,
this was Lego.
No,
this was.
What did you say it was?
Fisher Price.
I think I remember them. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure everybody had some. Form
and they didn't
of
have
people.
Legs, right?
No, you said they were just like, little pegs, yeah. And they would go in things.
I think
yeah.
I remember them.
Frisbee.
Good.
G.I. Joe.
Great.
The Game of Life.
Bad.
Hot Wheels.
Fuck that game.
I liked that game a lot as a kid.
Oh, the game's fine. The actual Game of Life is terrible.
Oh, yeah, no,
we're talking
terrible.
About the board game.
Oh,
these
Hot Wheels, bad because I never had one.
I fucking loved Hot Wheels.
Did you say Hulu?
Hula Hoop.
Oh, bad.
Jack in the Box.
Bad.
Jax.
Good.
Jigsaw Puzzles.
Remember Alf?
Mm-hmm.
Now
he's
back.
In Popcorn. Jump Rope.
Pog better be on there because I realize now that Alf is not back in Jax form.
Okay.
No, wait, no, I remember the Jax joke from The Simpsons. I have to mention it.
Okay.
It's when Milhouse is trying to convince Bart to play Jax, and he does it. He goes, look, I got twosies.
Yeah.
Here, go ahead.
Lego.
Good.
Lincoln Logs.
Bad. What the fuck was the fucking Lincoln Logs?
I played with Lincoln Logs.
I also played with Lincoln Logs.
The only thing I remember about Lincoln Logs, you remember Night Court?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a part, God, and I hope Hunter's still listening because he can help me out with this. There's one where John Larroquette's character becomes a kid again. Boy, I may be dreaming this up. And he and his character is a womanizer in the show, and he asks a woman, do you want to play with my little Lincoln log? And I remember this, and I don't think I'm crazy.
Oh, Lionel Trains.
Good.
Little Green Army Men.
Bad.
Magic 8 Ball.
We used to shoot him with real guns, and I felt bad. Bad because it never told the truth.
Marbles.
I love Magic 8 Balls, though.
Good.
Monopoly.
Can we just pause for a second and talk about what's wrong with Monopoly now?
Oh, it's a terrible game. It's always been a terrible game.
But they've gone nuts. Like, have you seen the newer versions of Monopoly? There was the Monopoly for Millennials that came out. This is legit. It was called Monopoly for Millennials. And it was based around, like, you can't afford property. Like, it was a big joke on Millennials. Then they had one, and I forget.
That's not a funny joke.
I forget what the second reality. Crazy one's called. I have to look it up.
Oh, because I saw something that I thought was made up, but might not be. The Miss Monopoly.
That's the newest one. It's called Miss Monopoly, and in it, women make more than men
on pass and go.
Yeah,
They make $240
Monopoly is trying to make commentary on.
On social
society.
Someone
societal
pointed out that
issues.
That's what they're trying, but it just gives that Steve Buscemi, hello fellow kids vibe, because they're trying so hard to be topical, you know?
Oh, my.
Anyway, let's go ahead.
Mr. Potato Head.
Good.
Nintendo Game Boy.
Amazing.
Paper Airplane.
Mm-hmm. Bad.
Pinball.
Great.
Play-Doh.
Wait, hold on. Paper Airplane is a brand?
No, the toy. Like, these are just toys.
Well, how is Paper
brands.
Airplane a toy? It's just paper.
It's a toy.
Well, who branded it?
Nobody. It's just these are toys that have been inducted
in. They said a box.
Okay,
yeah.
So is there like
I didn't hear the box.
Oh, they did say box.
Cardboard box, okay. Yeah. Well, just stuff that his kids have played with.
You know, that's fair. I definitely have not.
I take back my objection.
Yeah, because okay. I didn't hear the box part, and I was just like, "Who the fuck? Paper plane?
Paper plane?
Playing cards?
Good.
Yeah.
Puppets?
Oh, great. I love puppets.
Radio flyer wagon.
What?
The little red wagon with the white wheels that like almost everybody had one of.
I only had three wheels.
I never had a wagon, but I did.
Mine's
I did
still
know
in my
about
parents'
them.
Attic. Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Only the haunted ones.
Rocking horse.
No.
No.
Bad.
Roller skates.
Bad.
Rubber ducky.
Good.
Rubik's Cube.
Bad.
Scrabble.
Good.
Silly Putty.
Good. All I ever did with Silly Putty was
the newspaper. And then stretch it out.
Yep. That's all I ever did.
That was super fun for some reason.
Skateboards.
I hate Silly Putty and slime now.
Because you have to deal with it at work.
Because of the Silly Putty factory, the Silly Putty library at work. Yes. What'd you say?
Skateboards.
But Allie? You get to call this one.
I think they are fine.
Okay.
Slinky.
Everybody loves a slinky.
I broke so many.
Same.
I never had a slinky. Because I had
one of those big rainbow plastic ones, and I laced it through the bottom part of my upper bunk bed and then pulled down on it and just snapped into like four pieces.
Yeah, the plastic ones were real bad. I had a metal one. That motherfucker got bent, never worked right again.
We
never had stairs.
Did you straighten it?
God damn it.
He's been waiting to say it. For a minute. Through the whole time.
Love you. Star Wars action figures.
Good.
A stick.
There it is. Good.
Super soaker.
You can use that as a sex toy too. But like wrap it in something so you don't get like tree stuff stuck in your rectum.
Swings.
Good.
Teddy bears.
Also sexy.
Tinker toys.
What's a tinker toy?
It's another building thing that's like dowel rods and little like spokes and stuff. All the stuff I played with at my grandparents' house. Tonka trucks.
Good.
I liked some Tonka
Twister.
Trucks.
Good.
Uno.
Very sexual. Also very sexual.
Viewmaster, one of my favorites.
Very sexual. Good.
And wiffle ball.
Extremely sexual. Good.
Those are the ones that are already in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I feel like that is a lacking list.
All right. So the Barbie thing.
This is some closure real quick.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Get some closure on that because I'm sure somebody's curious if they haven't just looked it up by
themselves. They're sitting there with their Barbie almost inserted into themselves and going, Jesse, I need to know if this is okay.
No. All right. So Ruth Handler, a Jewish woman, was the inventor of the Barbie doll. She wanted an adult.
She wanted a fashion doll. Yeah.
She wanted
a baby doll.
That was an adult instead of a baby doll. There wasn't really a huge market for it. Her husband was one of the co-owners of Mattel. He wasn't really interested. And apparently, in a trip to Europe, they found a German doll.
That was a porn doll.
Yes. Build Lily.
Build Lily?
Yep.
Yeah, B-I-L-D
Lily. She had
Lily,
a comic line and was very popular gentleman.
Yes.
It's on an episode of The Toys That Made Us.
Shut your mouth. I'm going to
look
it up.
Barbie is based on a German sex toy and was created by a Jewish woman. So there was this rumor going around in the early aughts that I kept hearing from my friends that were like, I don't know why they, like, this was her favorite fact, but she, every time Barbie came out, was like, did you know that was a Jewish sex doll when it first came out? It's like, no.
So I'm looking at Bill Lilly right now. She ain't even that hot.
It was also the 1950s. Because
they basically took a model of that doll to originally create Barbie. And they took it a little too literally, and then they ended up like filing the nipples off of the doll because that doll had nipples.
I see. I'm not seeing any nipples, and it bothers me. I'm gonna look up Build Lily nipples, and this is on Allie's.
Of course.
On Allie's computer, by the way.
Of course it is.
Anyways, while you're looking that up, I'm gonna go over the finalists that can be voted on for 2019's
go ahead.
Teens Toy Inductees.
Go ahead.
Once again, you can go vote on these at ToyHallOfFame.org until the 18th. So this year's finalists are Care Bears, which I'm a fan of. Coloring Books, which I'm also a fan of. The Fisher-Price Corn Popper. It's that little...
Yeah, little, I know what the corn popper is.
Can we play
is.
With it? No, you can't.
You wouldn't you wouldn't,
you wouldn't appreciate it
as many levels as I do. Yep.
Jenga.
Yeah, okay.
Magic the Gathering.
What?
It is what it is. Masters of the Universe toys, which include He-Man and She-Ra together.
Okay.
Matchbox cars.
Okay. Not Hot Wheels?
Hot Wheels is already in it.
I must have missed that
one. It's already in the
list. I mean, that's when we were talking about sex dolls.
Probably.
I blanked out.
My Little Pony, which is what
I
personally
voted for.
Yeah,
we know.
Nerf Blaster.
That's a pretty good one.
Risk.
That's Calvito.
The smartphone.
Okay, when you say the smartphone, is that a board game or are we actually talking about
the actual smartphone because you can play so many games on it.
Okay.
And the top.
The what?
Top. You know, those little things you spin.
Oh, I thought like gay sex style. Like, are you a top or bottom? Am I an otter?
An otter.
I generate most of the power from my bottom. Hey, Calvin. That's what he walks into.
Anyways.
God, you know, Malibu Stacy. Why isn't Malibu Stacy on that list?
Because that is a fictional toy based on Barbie.
He's true.
So the one I don't like is that they have, what was there was a game on there. It started with an M.
Magic
the Gathering?
No, like a, maybe I was wrong. There was a board game on there, there was some kind of like actual board game.
I can go back. Monopoly?
Risk?
No. It was one of the first ones you said.
One of the ones that's already in it, or the inductees?
Inductees. It's
the one of the finalists?
Yeah. It's one of the first ones you said.
Care Bears, Jenga.
Jenga, that's it. I'm just, that they would have Jenga in there, I would put Yahtzee in there. Yahtzee was my favorite.
Well, these are the finalists for this year. Anybody can nominate a toy each year, but the judges make the final list on the finalist to be voted on. So if you want next year, you can go nominate Yahtzee.
Can I nominate Octocok?
That's not a real toy that we know of.
Now who's being naive?
All right. Now we got toy talk out of the way and the filthy sex stuff from Lindsay's
You're
mouth.
You're the one who perverted it.
Well, we're going to talk about... I guess we'll do Stephen King first, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. How much time we got left?
20 minutes.
Oh, we got to move quick.
We got to move pretty quick. So, well, it's good because Allie's out and Lindsay's out for the most part.
I like the Langoliers.
We'll get to your terrible ones here in a second. So we all saw the movie It over the weekend, and it was good.
Yes.
It was not as good as the original, is what I said. I think most people would agree. Would you agree?
Yeah.
As in, like, It Chapter 2 is not as good as Chapter 1. Okay. Yeah, no, I would agree. I like Chapter 1 more than Chapter 2.
But Chapter 2 is still good.
Yeah. It's really, like, it could go either way for me.
I have a fondness for the original miniseries, but it's entirely around the cast that I really liked because they had some of my favorite people. Jonathan Brandis was in it. Emily Perkins was in it. Tim Curry, obviously. Harry Anderson was in it.
I really need to go back and watch the original because it just scared me as a kid and I blocked most of it out.
It's not scary.
I know, but I was a little pansy-ass child. So
I'm countering your point with Bill Hader.
Oh, I know.
And
I know.
Jessica.
Jessica Chastain.
Yes. Because she could not think of her last name.
I couldn't. I forgot it. I'm sorry.
But I counted that with Tim Curry. And plus, Tim Curry is the ace. He's the draw four. It's down.
Also James McAvoy.
Yeah.
I love James
also,
McAvoy.
Also, Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah,
I like Finn.
He's good.
I brought
he's
up real good. Those two because I know you really like them.
Bill Hader and Finn Wolfhard?
Or
no. Jessica Chastain.
Yes. I do. I like Bill Hader because he's very funny. I like Jessica Chastain because, one, I always thought she was gorgeous and she's a good actress. But then I saw her on SNL and I fell in love with
her. It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't even matter. She's so funny. But I have a fondness for the original that I think only comes from the cast and Tim Curry.
Really, it's Tim Curry.
It's the Tim Curry show. And he's having so much fun with it. We're going to get to the second. But it is a Stephen King book. And we decided we're going to do a little list here before we talk about it of our favorite Stephen King adaptations. Because Stephen King...
Oh, adaptations.
I say adaptations only for their sake.
Because I've never read a single book.
She's never read the book, so she's strictly doing movies.
Okay.
So they can be anything Stephen King. You know what I mean? Like anything that Stephen King's done.
Sure.
I'm not going to lie. Most of the Stephen King stuff I've watched has been because you've shown it to me, and I don't remember half of which ones are which.
Well, most of the Stephen King stuff, I mean, I love Stephen King as a kid because I didn't know any better. Like, he was horror to me. He was horror. I didn't know about, like, Dean Koontz. I didn't know about H.P. Lovecraft, terrible, terrible racist.
My horror was like R.L. Stein because I was a chicken.
Yeah, you're a baby.
I did a whole lot of R.L. Stein, read a lot of Goosebumps, then Ghost of Fear Street and Fear Street when I was a kid. And my older brother called me, you know, a little chicken shit because this happened when I was 9 years old. He said I was a little chicken shit because I was just still reading R.L. Stein. So then when I was 9, I started reading Stephen King.
Just to prove you weren't no baby.
Yeah, and then so that was like, it would have been like in the era of like 1997, up to about 2003, I read a lot of Stephen King.
Which Stephen King's a great author.
I did not understand most of it.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because like, you were 9.
I'm not the biggest fan of his books. I've read a few of them. I do like some of the movies, though. And we have a list of our 5 favorite Stephen King adaptations.
And by that, he means him and Jesse.
We'll just give our list. I'll say mine, you say yours. Before we do, though, let's get to Allie and Lindsay, since they're the runner-ups. We'll do Allie first, since she's seen... Go ahead.
So, the It miniseries.
Okay.
It Chapter 1.
Okay.
It Chapter 2.
Okay.
Pet Sematary, the new one, because I actually forgot never saw the first thing. One. Okay. And that's it.
Have you ever seen The Green Mile?
I have no idea.
Green Mile is real good.
Stephen King did a lot of stuff that's not horror related.
Yeah, and Green Mile, I was about to say, it's not
Shawshank Redemption.
Was it, I didn't know that was.
Harold's Game?
Gerald's game.
Gerald's game.
You like Gerald's game?
Okay. Well, I watched it, so that got me to 5.
Did you not like it?
It was good. The one scene was hard to watch.
Oh, the degloving.
Yeah.
Watch it. All right, Lindsay. Ooh, what do you got?
Do I have to put any order?
No,
because...
no. You just go through.
Okay. Well, since you said Shawshank Redemption, I like the Langoliers. You can make fun of it as much as you want.
Man, what a weird thing the Langoliers is.
You know what? I watched it because Dean Stockwell was in it, and I was obsessed with Quantum Leap at the time.
It's such a boring movie, and then the climax, you see these horrible CG monsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Your Langoliers, I had a Stephen King movie that I liked as a kid, and I don't need more because I realized how terrible it was. In the same vein, the Tommyknockers. I loved the Tommyknockers when I was younger.
I feel like so I dumb. Should know what that is.
It's the movie had, I think, A. Martinez in it. I may be wrong about that, but it was bad. It was boring. Like, these ghostly things knock on your door in the middle of the night. Like, sounds creepy, and then it was just
dumb.
Not good. So other than Langoliers.
Pet Sematary, the original one. I liked it better than the new one we watched.
I didn't see it.
And she's out.
Was Silver Bullet?
Yeah, stop. Stop taking the things I've made you watch because they're also on my list.
Well, then don't make me talk because that's the only way
right,
I know it is
off.
What you've shown me.
I'm cutting her off right
Literally,
now.
The Langoliers is the only one I watched of my own, like...
Volition?
Yes. My cousins had it on when I was little and it terrified me and I blocked most of it out, but now I want to go back and rewatch the original. So.
Oh, also, I meant one more thing. And real quick, there was one other motherfucker of the week that I really wanted to talk about and I'm just going to say it very quickly.
Okay.
It was PewDiePie.
What do you do
or,
now?
Or at the very least, PewDiePie's followers. So PewDiePie hit a new milestone for most listeners, for viewers on YouTube or subscriptions, whatever. Mm. And he got this really nice YouTube award. And then he decided to do something at the end of this video. He said he was going to donate $50,000 to the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, which he said it was fighting, you know, whatever they fight. I can't think of the exact words to say, but anti-gay, you know what I mean? Like the...
Because they, I don't know, for whatever reason, anti-defamation makes it sound like helping people that you go ahead.
Well, the point is that he donated to this, even though these are the same people that kind of spoke out against him whenever he did the death to Jews thing, and they're the ones that kind of helped push Disney to drop PewDiePie from his deal. Well, he was going to donate $50,000 to him because of all the good work they do in charity and stuff like that. Well, then his followers got super uptight about it and were like, well, they talk shit about you. You're being blackmailed. All these conspiracy theories started going around. He then put out a video like today or yesterday saying, yeah, I'm pulling my $50,000 charity. I'm going to pick a different charity that matters to me. This was one I was advised to give to. And yeah, you can kind of tell I didn't really want to do it. And I just think that's shitty.
Jeez.
That you pledge $50,000 to like a good charity like the Anti-Defamation League, and then you pull it because your bastard YouTube followers kind of get pissy about it.
That's because... It's kind of like middle school teachers. They become middle schoolers in a way because they're around that so often. Mm. PewDiePie's subscribers are mostly children, so he's acting like a child.
That's just shitty to me. So yeah, I want to throw him up there, too.
And I did look it up. The ADL specifically works against hate in general, but anti-Semitism specifically.
Which he was accused of. And he even said in the video that like he thought it was a good way to try to dispel some of the
Nazi rumors?
The alt-right shit about him, yeah. Anyway, that we'll talk about that more next week. Let's get back to this real quick. My personal list, and I'll go kind of quickly through it because Lindsay stole most of them.
I'm sorry.
Was Pet Sematary.
New one or old one?
The old one. I didn't
new
care
one
for the new
awful.
One.
New one was awful.
Yeah, I know. A lot
I
of
haven't
people
seen the new one yet.
A lot of people
don't
liked
waste
it. I
your
didn't
time.
Like it. Silver Bullet. Fuck, Lindsay. I didn't expect Silver Bullet.
I'm sorry that I remembered it.
Didn't expect Silver Bullet because that.
Yeah, fair enough. Go ahead, buddy.
It, just because. And Creepshow. It was, and I had a fifth one, but you know, Lindsay already stole most of them, and Allie stole most of them, and you'll probably steal most of them. So I'm just going to leave it there.
No, that's fair.
You spread out my three with basically one movie.
Creepshow was Stephen King.
Because I'm using it chapter one and chapter two.
Son of a
two,
bitch.
Because like, those movies are both good enough that they're worth their two slots.
I also like The Dark Tower. I don't care what anyone says.
I haven't seen The Dark Tower.
I don't know if you showed me that one.
We watched it in 4K.
Did we?
At home.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Anyway,
I didn't know that was Stephen King. Idris Elba as the gunslinger.
I don't remember.
He pulled his guns and shoot it, and Matthew McConaughey was the man in black.
Because I always heard it was good, but I haven't seen it.
I remember it.
Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, It Chapter 1 and It Chapter 2 are probably my favorite Stephen King adaptations. Like, No, they definitely are. They're...
Oh, and The Shining. That's the other one I was meant to say, which she didn't steal, was The Shining.
Oh, yeah, The Shining, absolutely a classic.
It's
a,
I hated that movie until I rewatched it again, and I absolutely love it.
It's really good. And then I would probably say Gerald's Game was really good. And I know, like, I've now taken three from Allie's list.
Yeah, we should really stop talking to them about things.
I love how you were like, let's have them go first because they don't really even have
Where you could
have
just not had us done it.
The Carrie remake.
Which one?
I've never watched either of the Carrie
The newer
Carrie
one
movies.
With Chloe Grace Moretz.
Chloe Moretz Grace.
Yes, that's the one.
Chloe Moretz. Chloe, no, I think you're right. Chloe, I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
The original Carrie apparently terrified my mom.
Huh. I really, really liked the remake. I thought it was really good. And then...
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Okay. And then you had to say one that hasn't been mentioned yet, Thinner. That one freaked me out quite a bit as a kid.
Yeah, what a curse. Be a big fat guy and lose a bunch of weight.
Well, and
how
then,
terrible for him.
You know, he just kind of kept going, though.
He got it back in the end. He passed it on to his bitch of a wife. So he got out of it scot-free. Killed a gypsy woman, got skinny. Hey, got revenge on my wife.
Good yeah, no, he, everything worked out. It's all pluses for that guy.
Yeah,
all
well, except the size. All right, that's going to be the it for the it. That's it for the non-spoiler part of all the show. We are going to dip heavily into some it spoilers for the last part of this. If you were curious about what we thought about it, go back to Nerd Up on Sunday where we talked about our spoiler-free review. With that said, we all said watch in the theater. Allie, would you say watch in theater?
Yes.
Cinema? Okay. Let's talk about it. Spoiler in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Eddie dies. So if you're listening to it still, fuck you.
And well, you can't be mad about spoilers at this point, but yeah, no, Eddie dies.
You got plenty of warning.
Eddie always dies.
Eddie always dies. He just dies in different ways.
Yep.
Eddie
and Stanley.
And the Stanley part was kind of weird to me because maybe I need to go back and either watch the original series or read the book. Because
I actually am going back through and reading the book because
they tacked that on, didn't they? Like I know he killed himself, but the whole part at the end where he says, "I knew I would be
that was definitely not in the book.
Okay, it wasn't in the original series either.
Yeah, because in the book it was
he was just scared.
Yeah, he was terrified, and well, the problem was we got like his ending was told from the perspective of his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like she walked in and saw his ass like in the fucking tub.
Oh god, I forgot Calvin was sitting right over there. Calvin, I am so sorry. He's not listening. Okay, good.
Yeah, all right, we're good.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, I do want to reread the book because I read it when I was either an eighth grader or a freshman in high school.
So you probably didn't get a lot of the stuff that was in there.
There
was a lot of the child orgy stuff.
I understood the what was happening in the child orgy. I guess like I didn't have an appreciation for how fucked up it was.
Yeah,
but
there was a child orgy in the book.
You
okay,
told me.
Yeah,
you that, like
that's
to
how
bring that up.
That's many, how they seal times. Their promise.
Yeah,
this glass in the hand bullshit.
And that would have made for a much more awkward ending to the original.
Yeah,
is running a train on that girl.
Uh huh.
Because
it was only a little fucked up.
What was Stephen King thinking?
There was
the
so much shit that was fucked up in that book. Like Stephen King is, I mean, everybody knows he's a weird motherfucking dude.
Yeah,
but damn.
So, what did we like about the movie? What'd you like the most, Allie?
Bill Hader.
Jesse.
I mean, Bill Hader was pretty
Lindsay?
Phenomenal. But
yeah.
Okay, so make sure Bill Hader was the best part of everybody.
I mean,
he stole every scene he was in.
I think he was the best part. I really do.
Minus his vomiting.
Well, I mean, he's good at vomiting.
He threw up several times.
So gross.
Of all the people that was in that movie, like, I didn't expect James McAvoy, but I definitely wouldn't expect Bill Hader to be in a film like that. So that was just really cool, and he did such a good job with it. Bill Skarsgård.
I think everybody did a fantastic job in that movie.
Everybody was fantastic in that film. I will always miss Tim Curry, though.
Yeah.
And I've said it. I said this in the group chat the other day, that I think Tim Curry did a better job of portraying it as a menace than Bill Skarsgård did. And I think the reason I think that is because Bill Skarsgård's version was so CG heavy on like the mouth opening. You know what I mean? Like it's like that video we watched. Once as an adult, when you see that CG, it kind of takes you out of it a little bit because you can go, that's not real. But with Tim Curry, no CG, it was just Tim Curry. And even though he wasn't scary, I thought he did such a good job at being like almost like a bully. He was there every time they turned around, just fucking with them nonstop. He would drive you insane. Now, Bill Skarsgård is much scarier,
Yeah.
He's a way different performance, and I'm glad they didn't try to emulate Tim Curry. That's good.
They definitely went more towards the actual
horror,
making him a monster,
right?
As opposed to just this, being. For the
bully.
Tim Curry version, the bully.
Creepy clown bully.
Both of them have their merits for sure, but like CG has gotten to such a point now that it looks really, really good. It does not take me out of the movie to see it. Going back to, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, like the CG in that outright took me out of the film.
Baffling.
But the CG nowadays, especially the CG in It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2, did not take me out of the movie at all. Really just sold it.
It was just right that it enhanced it.
I think the only CG that took me out of the movie was the naked grandma when she turned into the big monster and ran toward her. Like, it was still cool looking, but it was just, it was off enough that I kind of went, ugh.
That was because you had a little bit of the shaky cam going on that one.
Yeah.
Trying to instill that extra little bit of panic. But yeah, no, it definitely looked a little off. Like, that was probably the worst CG.
I think that was the worst CG.
So you
it.
Had scenes like that, though, but then you had scenes like Paul Bunyan.
Fucking Paul Bunyan got me.
That
takes me back to Are You Afraid of the Dark? Or no, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That the only part I thought looked bad in that was the jangly man, because he was CG when everything else was not. So it kind of took me out of it.
Well, like the kid turning into a scarecrow looked pretty bad too.
Yeah, but like the pale lady looked awesome.
Oh, the pale lady looked great.
Uh-huh.
The spider scene was also kind of iffy. But anyway, back to it. Paul Bunyan was the only part of that movie that when he turned around and that motherfucker was just staring at him, mouth open, I was like, oh, that got me.
Got me a little bit. That was the one big jump scare that got me in that movie for sure.
Because it wasn't as scary as the original. A lot of it was just fucked up. Like the part where they're at the restaurant.
And by original, chapter one.
Yeah, because nothing scared you in the original.
Yeah, I know.
Except little Lindsay.
How good Tim Curry was. How much fun Tim Curry was having as Pennywise.
The original was super creepy, and there was some really creepy moments.
Yeah.
But it was definitely not like that existential horror.
But it was more subtle. Like one of the scariest things I've ever seen, and I can't explain why it scares me so much, is the part where they're driving by, and Pennywise is on the side of the road in the original with the balloons, and he's waving, and he's smiling, and he stops and like points at him. Something unsettling about that. Versus, the clown chasing after you with his mouth wide open. Because that's scary, too. But I'd have to see it in person. And I feel like at that point, it's too late.
It's too late to be scared.
It's too late. The part in the restaurant where the little monsters start appearing, that was pretty fucked up.
That was really fucked up. That was really good.
Yeah, there were a lot of parts in that movie that was pretty fucked up. It felt a little long. I didn't like the parts with the artifacts. Like, I think in the original,
the little flashbacks.
Yeah, because in the original, it was more of a, hey, walk around town, kind of get your memories back and stuff.
They all got artifacts and stuff, but yeah, it was less involved, I guess, of a process.
Yeah, because in the original, it was more just
in the book.
Yeah, you go walk around. In this, it was go find your artifact. That just felt like kind of a stretch.
Well, they still
take this side quest.
They still found the artifacts, if I remember right, for the book, didn't they?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm going to be honest with you.
I thought they still had...
But I don't think they ever called them artifacts. I think it was more of that they found themselves as they wandered.
Yeah.
But they weren't told specifically, you have to bring these, we have to burn
them. And there was like an intuition that took them to like the an
places
item
they needed
to burn. Because it was still the thing. It was just the way the ritual worked was 100% different.
Yeah.
But in the movie, it was more about like... creating the belief that you can kill them, and that's what it all came down to, is like if you believed you could kill him, then you could.
Yeah.
Which I think was a similar thing in the book. You had to believe that he could kill you in order for him to kill you.
Yeah, fear was his power.
Yeah.
I actually rewatched the end of the original It the other day, and
chapter one.
No, the original miniseries.
Okay. That's why you gotta say chapter one versus the original.
I watched the ending of the original miniseries where they fought the spider, because I thought it was really cool that we got the spider in this movie too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think we were, because they kind of showed it in chapter one at the end. He had like a little bit of spidery out of his mouth and stuff like that. But we got full on spider Pennywise in this, which I thought was cool. I don't know why they kept him as the clown and the spider at the same time, because that wasn't in the book or the original miniseries. He was just a spider. He was just a creature. That's what he was. But the way they beat him in the original was they just ran at him, knocked him over on his side, and punched him until the spider died, basically. So this one was a much better ending for Pennywise. I think they still pulled his heart out and crushed it. But again, this miniseries was on ABC in the 90s.
Yeah.
How much could they show versus this, where they literally reach into Pennywise's chest and tear out his heart? And just like squeeze it together. Yeah. So.
I like the fan conspiracy that Pennywise and the other mother from Coraline are the same species.
But she also turns into a spider?
She turns into a giant spider that basically feeds on you.
Well, there's a whole backstory to Pennywise and It that they kind of go over in the movie where they talk about like the Indian tribes and how it came millions of years ago, whatever. That's legit. Yeah. That's all in there.
Yeah.
They did keep, they did exclude the part with the, you know, space traveling turtle.
Well, because like the turtle and It are supposed to be like two sides of the same coin. Like they're both gods, basically. And in the book, like you kind of get this, I don't know, this little bit of like existential terror in that, like, it's sort of revealed that, and I'm really sorry if I'm spoiling the book for people, but, it's kind of revealed that like the kids' roles meant nothing, like the kids and the adults, like they were just kind of pawns in the turtles game, against It.
And it was also different in the, I think in the book and the miniseries versus the new one, where in the miniseries at least, and I believe in the book, Pennywise was trying to keep the kids away from the town. He was trying to scare them away because he was afraid of them because he knew they could defeat him. Whereas in the new movie, he was almost beckoning them back because he missed them because he wanted,
he wanted a rematch. To finish the job. Yeah.
He wanted a rematch.
Because they beat him as kids and he wanted to show that, you know.
No, I ain't no bitch.
I ain't no bitch.
Whereas opposed to the original version, he wanted them to stay away because he was indeed a bitch. Allie, what was your least favorite part?
My least favorite part?
Yeah.
Oh, the part that I hated watching the most was the opening scene.
Oh, yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which is also like in the very beginning of the book.
Yeah, I had to check and make sure that was legit or if they threw that in there to be topical. No, that was in there. Yeah.
And it's a lot more detailed in the book, too.
I also hated, even though it wasn't as bad, it was still kind of bad, was the fact that the bully, which was also in the original, that he grew up in the mental asylum and he got out and he was, I don't know, I just hate that character. I'm glad he died, but
yeah.
Oh, Calvin came back as a zombie in this movie. I say Calvin because I don't remember his name.
Hostetter or something like that. You're talking about the guy that drove him around. Mm-hmm. But there were parts of it that, like, again, I feel like could have used maybe a little bit of explanation because most of the things that like Pennywise shows people, it's a hallucination. It's fear.
Mm-hmm.
They really drove that guy around in a car.
Yeah.
Would like to know how that happened. Was he an actual zombie? Like, what was going on there?
Oh, or he could have been, you know, actually driving himself and it's
just in his head.
But, that. I mean, it's also one of those things, like, the more real you believe it to be, the more real it is. So, like, if he believed that the zombie was real, then, like, that zombie was just part of it and
was real.
And was real. Because Homeboy fully believed that it was real.
Oh, yeah.
His buddy was back. And they were causing trouble.
And he brought his knife back to him.
Yep. Yeah.
Which then he got stabbed in the chest with apparently no damage because it did not affect him in any way.
Yeah.
Right.
It slowed him down a little bit.
Briefly
slowed him down. Then he went to go fight Mike, and then that one did not end well for him.
Took a pickaxe to the back of the head.
Yeah. He did not shrug that one off the same way he did the knife to the chest.
And it wasn't even that he nicked him with the knife. There was a part where he pulled the blade out.
Yeah. Yeah. He
just jumped the window. Was like, I'm out.
Deuces.
I'll see you again.
Then he goes to try to take on Mike.
And then Eddie kills him.
So
we mentioned it on the Sunday.
No, it wasn't Eddie. It was
Richie.
Richie Bill killed him. Yep.
So we don't have a lot of time, but I do want to mention before we go, because we just went way more time talking about something, maybe sex toys, I don't remember at this point, than we meant to, but the best part of the movie, and we hinted at it on Sunday.
Oh, God.
When Eddie and Richie are going and they run into the three doors. Yes. Which was a throwback to, a callback to the original series, or the original movie, with the not scary at all. Was it not scary at all? Normal scary
and very scary.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's a trick. We'll go in the very scary. And they go in and I forget, what did they say in the very scary?
It was just like a closet. And then, like, something...
Like a severed head monster or something. I don't know. My brain blocked out what it was. I'm not going to lie.
I can't remember what was behind
it. I know something jumped out at them.
Yeah, something jumped out at them. But honestly, the only thing I can remember is the goddamn dog.
They pull the door back on the not scary at all. There's just this cute little dog.
Just go, oh, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't trust this dog, right?
No, fuck that dog.
That's a monster.
But then the dog does something really cute, and they're like, okay, that was pretty cute.
Like, it just, like, whimpers or something.
It starts, like, obeying commands. Like, it's, like, sit, and then it just fucking, you know,
full monster on them. From now on, we're going to just normal scary. That was my favorite part of the movie. And of course, really good. Bill Hader. And actually, my other favorite part of the movie, and the part I think really gives the movie weight, which I really liked, was because I hate when something bad happens, they wrap it all up and they like start cracking jokes like everything's good. They did that in this movie when they finally destroyed Pennywise. And as they're cracking jokes about it and like, oh, if Eddie were here, he would say this. And then they're like, you know, right, Richie. And Richie starts crying. Yeah. I fucking love that he was a cry.
Phenomenal scene.
That's a great, great part.
Phenomenal.
I thought
scene.
You had something to say.
No, I was just thinking of their comment of he'd hate that we're washing ourselves off in dirty water.
And then Richie starts crying because their friend just fucking died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and it was revealed that like Richie was in love with Eddie.
Yeah. Which was not in the original.
No, I mean like it vaguely hinted at.
They hinted that they had kind of a it was a thing, yeah. But they went full out on this one, which I thought was sweet. And at the end when Bill Hader
goes and recarves.
I also like the part where Bill Hader goes into the I don't know if it was a fantasy or if it was real, the memorial service for Stanley, because it says today we mourn Stanley, whatever, and then you see him in the church. Like, was that real or was that in his head?
I guess it would depend on what family of his was still in.
Yeah, they could have still been mourning him, but like, so basically he drives by, I think he was leaving, it's when he was going to leave. Mm-hmm. And he drives by the church, and on the church sign it says today we mourn Stanley, I forget what his last name was. Yeah. And he stops, and then you get the flashback of him at the
brisk.
Yeah. And he kind of leaves, and then it shows Stanley and or it shows Richie in there, and he's like, thanks for showing up, Stanley, or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good scene too. Like I said, Bill Hader stole the show.
Yeah, no, he did fantastic. It was really, really good. Like, honestly, I really, really, really liked the movie.
I did too. It felt a little long.
It was a little long. Just straight up was a little long.
The part where Stanley's young head turns into a spider thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That was fantastic.
That is
that
up there with
up.
The Thing as like my favorite head spider monsters. We don't get enough of those.
Yeah, no, that was real good. You know, I just really, really liked it. And then I figured you were going to say something about Ben getting with Bev.
Why?
I mean, he did after the movie.
Yeah, well, because I remember
your
like,
comment after the film of, here, kids, be rich and lose
skinny,
weight.
Yeah.
And
get skinny
yeah.
and you can be happy.
Because, I remember like at the end of it, chapter one, your comment on it was about like the lonely fat kid that's never going to get the girl.
Right. Well, he got the girl, but only by losing weight.
And being rich.
Well, because I was sitting there thinking about it, and I actually thought about you when, Ben shows up. He's filthy fucking rich now. He's super hot looking and everything.
Oh my god, those abs.
And then he sees, you know, like Bill turned into James McAvoy, and you're just like, well, god damn it.
To be fair, James McAvoy didn't have those abs.
Have you seen James McAvoy?
He didn't have those abs.
I also liked whenever Richie showed up, he was like, well, you two look great.
Yeah. What the fuck happened to you?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Oh, give that man an Oscar. Give him all the Oscars.
Yeah, no, he's
give deserved. Him Oscar Isaac, too.
Why not?
Just give it to him. Shit, I was going to mention one more thing before we left, and I don't remember what it was. It doesn't matter. It was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Go see it. It. Go see it.
What is it?
What is it? That's going to do it for us here tonight. We're going to wrap this up because we're going to go home and eat dinner, probably. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in once again. I was going to talk about Uzumaki.
That the anime they're making?
Well, just Uzumaki in general, because I think it was Hunter put it in the group chat about
the comic.
Yeah, like, why are we not talking about Uzumaki? And I want to point out, I have mentioned Uzumaki on this show many, many times.
I don't remember.
It's basically, what is Uzumaki in Japanese? Calvin?
Spiral.
Never mind, Jesse spoiled it. It's Spiral. It's a movie I had rented from Blockbuster when I was a kid. I didn't know anything about it. And I say kid, I was like 23, so I was definitely not a kid. But it was one of the few movies that I could never finish because I watched it at like 2 a.m. by myself, pitch black, and it was legitimately creepy enough that I was like, can't finish this movie. And I've never finished it, and I've never found it since, so I can't finish it. It's one of my shames. I want to finish that movie. Well, now Adult Swim is coming out with a anime adaptation of, because it's a manga.
Uh-huh.
They're coming out with an anime adaptation of it, and I watched the trailer, which is pretty fucked up, and Hunter just found out about it. And you said, I didn't know this, it's the same person that did
the Enigma at Amigara.
That really creepy story about the mountain where people are like fitting in their holes and then they come out the other side all
fucked
up. This
is my hole, it's meant for me.
Yeah. That dude's got problems.
Yeah, he's made some pretty fucked up shit. Like you always hear about like the Enigma book. Like anytime his name comes up, and I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
Don't try.
But either way, like anytime his name comes up, like that's the one that always gets referenced. But I'm like, man, that's not even like close to the scariest thing that he's popped out with. Like, yeah, it's super creepy, like super creepy. Especially the ending, but
that sound.
Yeah, dur. I don't know. But the Uzumaki also really creepy.
And I recommend everyone checks it out when it comes out. Yeah. And if you can find a copy of the movie, you know, illegally, because I don't want you to buy it for me. But if you can find me a link, send it to me, and I'll watch it illegally. Thanks for tuning in, guys. That'll be it for us for tonight. We'll be back on Monday.
Yeah,
we'll be on Monday.
Yeah. Assuming that Asa and I have not lost all concept of time playing Borderlands.
That's what I assumed.
It's a high probability.
So, Borderlands 3 does come out tomorrow. Are they doing it at midnight?
I have no idea if they're doing it at midnight, but me and Asa aren't going to it. Okay. We're just going to pick it up at lunch tomorrow, get it downloaded, and play it tomorrow night.
Tomorrow, Borderlands 3 comes out, and they're very excited about that. Yes. You can, of course, find me on the Red Dead Onlines with my gang, me and Bob.
WoW Classic.
Our gang is called the Pecan Sandies.
Was the name of my fantasy football team for a while until my mom and her husband ruined it.
Oh, well, it's not just a dessert, you know. It's also a sexual term.
I know. And they ruined it.
How'd they ruin it?
I think, like, my mom changed her team name to the Ginger Snaps, and her husband changed his team name to the Fig Newtons. And I'm just like, oh, God.
What did I start?
And especially, like, I'm sure my mom didn't know anything about the other part of Pecan Sandies.
The sexual part? Goddamn you, Frank.
Also, like, Ginger Snaps, I can't help but think of the goddamn movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I was like, oh, nope, changing this. So that's in my family fantasy football league. And now my team is the Star 4 Prize Fighters.
Oh, I like that. That's a Coheed reference, isn't it?
That is a Coheed reference.
You know what my family fantasy is? To have one again. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on Monday.